Jonathan Healy in for Pat. Gregor McGuckin, good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm good. You are a sailor.
I am indeed.
And you have decided to embrace the 2018 Golden Globe race.
I have, yeah.
What is it?
It's basically a solo non-stop sailing race around the world. So the idea behind it is in 1968, a race happened called the Sunday Times Golden Globe Race, which was a sort of a race amongst nine different people to become the first person to ever sail solo non-stop around the world. And only one person finished it. And so in the spirit of that original race, 50 years on, they're running another race called the 2018 Golden Globe Race. And there's 30 competitors in this, and I'm the only Irish competitor.
The fact that only one person finished the last one, does that not put you off a small bit?
No, I think there's been enough advances, I suppose, since then that you know the communications and boat strength and everything is a lot better. Like, we are limited to the technology that existed in the 60s, but apart from modern safety equipment and so on.
So, you know, you're not going to use GPS. There's no sonar, nothing too dramatic. Are you literally going out with a sextant, a map and the stars?
That's exactly it, yeah. A sextant and a compass will be my main form of navigation. Now, in case of emergencies, we do have a sealed box with all the safety equipment we need. But if we break that seal, then we're disqualified.
Then you're disqualified. What's in the sealed box?
So that will have all the satellite phones, GPS, other safety equipment, anything we need, really.
Okay, so there is you can use it in an emergency. But the thrill, presumably, is because you're navigating using the old-fashioned method.
Yeah.
Have you done that kind of thing before?
Yes, it's not as redundant as a lot of people might think. Anybody who's gone down a professional sailing route, or even the Navy or the Merchant Navy, would all have learned to use a sextant and still do. So I learned to use it, and I know when I'm doing, I'm a professional sailor, so I deliver yachts around the world. And when I'm doing a longer delivery, I bring a sextant with me just for no other reason than just to keep it up and practice it. And then in case of emergencies, you've got an alternative way of navigating, basically.
Yeah, and it is as Columbus would have done it, isn't it?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
Not far off.
Is it hard? Because, you've got the benefit of better maps than Columbus would have had, but you are effectively relying on your own intelligence at sea, possibly when you're tired or the weather wasn't great and you're feeling a bit sick and you're hoping that you have it right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the thing with I suppose if we're talking about navigation, the thing with, you know, navigating by the sun and the stars is you need to be able to see them. So you could potentially go for quite a few days without actually being able to get an exact idea of where you are. But you'll always have a rough idea because you know roughly what speed you're going and roughly what direction you're going with a compass. So you can make a pretty good guess. Sure, in the middle of the sea, there's very little to hit.
You think that.
land.
Land is an issue, the odd whale. When you're doing this, though, is it because you can? Is there any better rationale to it?
As in, why am I doing the race? Well, I suppose being a sailor, it's kind of the sort of the pinnacle of what you could potentially do is sort of sail solo non-stop around the world. There's not really much you can do that would top that. So, and it's something I've always dreamed about doing, sailing solo around the world. Maybe not non-stop, but I was always planning on doing it at some point, and then the opportunity came up. So
the boat you have, it's a what? It's a
36-foot.
36-foot boat.
Yes.
It's tight enough if you're going to be on it for a long time.
It was launched in 1984, and it was designed as a family cruiser at the time. So it's bigger than you might think. So by my modern standards, it's small, but it was a big boat in its time.
Yeah. So you're going to have to sleep. Do you set the boat on autopilot when you're asleep?
Yeah. So we've got basically a wind vane steering that basically it's like a paddle that hangs off the back of the boat, and then as the boat changes angle to the wind, it pushes it over and steers the boat back on course. So I do have an autopilot. It's not an electronic one. I'm not allowed electronic autopilots because they didn't exist then. But I have a mechanical autopilot, if you want.
And you got 9 months bobbing around the oceans. Do you get to pull into port for a while? Do you get to go off and have a nice night in Madagascar or something?
No, nothing. The closest we get to pull in is a place called Storm Bay off the south coast of Tasmania. And we have to pass through a gate, like a sort of imaginary gate, just into the bay for a media interview. We're not allowed off the boat. We're not allowed to accept any extra supplies or anything like that. And then we leave again.
And how prepared are you for that psychologically? Because 9 months is a long time to be with yourself. And we all know we're great company, but when there's no one else to share a thought with, it can become a little difficult.
Yeah, and I think that's, to be honest, I think that's one of the biggest challenges. I mean, I've done enough sailing to have an idea of what I'm putting myself in for from that point of view. But mentally, I mean, you know, how do you prepare for something like this? So I've been talking to a couple of friends who would know a lot more about this than me, and I'm working with a psychologist as well. And well, one of the things where he's put me on is I'm going away to do one of these. I've forgotten the name of it, but it's basically a 10-day retreat where you go on to practice meditation.
Mindfulness.
You're not allowed to talk to anybody for 10 days. You're with this group and it's just completely silent.
I should be after doing 3.5 weeks of this program. I'm very tempted to do one of them myself. But then, so you think you should be okay with your... I always imagine on a trip like this, are pants optional? I mean, you're not going to meet anybody. Do you have to go to the struggle of dressing every morning?
Well, no, not really. Sharing as well, I suppose. Yeah, no, no so one's there can, to give out to me, so...
Yeah, you can stink up the place and nobody really cares. Yeah. But is there a facility to have a shower on board?
Well, potentially, but the problem is water consumption. So, I mean, I won't be using modern desalinators or anything like that, so all the water will have to either be brought with me from the start, which is completely unrealistic for that length of time, or harvested from rainwater. So water will be quite a valuable commodity, so... You know, there will be times I can have showers, but there'll be few and far between.
Yeah, you'll have to have gone through a pretty hefty rain shower the previous
day. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Food then. Back in the 60s, food would have been a bit choice. Nowadays, you've got great options.
Yeah.
Things that are sealed and you're going to give them a rub and all of a sudden a chicken curry appears. Do you have the option of that?
We do have the option of that because a lot of the sort of... astronaut food, if you want to call it, from the 60s doesn't really exist anymore and the options are a lot more limited. So they have extended that to the rules to allow for modern foods. But then having said it as well, that much food for that long a time, I have to bring it all from the start. So I don't really want to survive on just dried food for that long instant food for that long. So I will be bringing some other things as well.
Yeah.
What yet, I'm not sure. But
yeah, fruit is going to be a challenge.
Yeah, yeah.
Fruit for the first few weeks.
Dried fruit and stuff like that. It's sort of balancing sort of... decent food and happiness with weight as well, because if I brought all tin food, for example, it'd weigh a huge amount. So
this is going to cost you money. How much is it going to cost you?
Well, the route I've gone down, I've got myself a bigger boat, which will allow me to be a lot more comfortable in bigger conditions. I mean, I could have got myself a smaller boat, which would have cost a lot less to put together and get ready for the race. But the boat I've got is probably going to cost me a total of around 250,000.
Okay.
Yes.
That's a lot of money.
Yes. So I'm looking for sponsors.
So you're looking for sponsors.
Yes.
And how are you going to get them to part with their cash? What's in it for them?
Well, it's quite an amazing opportunity. No Irish person has ever done this before, and it's a global race. There's 30 competitors from 14 different countries competing in it. I mean, sailing all over the world is quite a big sport, and just the story around this race and the history around it. It's just a fantastic opportunity for somebody to partner with.
And so how do they get in contact with you if they want to get involved?
I have a website. It's called gregormcgucken.com. And I also have a Facebook page, which is Gregor McGuckin Racing. And then I'm on Twitter and Instagram as well.
So just search Gregor McGuckin. They'll come across you. Apparently, Vipassana is the name of the 10-day meditation in silence.
Yes.
Vipassana. Never heard of it. There you have it. Yeah. Keeping me quiet for 10 days is something that's beyond anyone's ambition. Your job, you mentioned your job, which is delivery of yachts.
Yeah.
Does that mean you get to go in the most magnificent vessels and bring them around the world?
Well, I do get to play in some boats that I wouldn't normally get to play in, so that's pretty.
What
are
they like? Again, as the great unwashed that I am, are they as nice on the inside as they look from the outside?
Quite often they are. A lot of that depends on who owns the boat as well. I mean, some people don't look after them as well as they should. But same as anything, same as nice cars and everything like that. But a lot of them would be very well looked after. I mean, they cost huge money, some of these boats.
And are you a bit of a yacht snob now as a result of being on the good ones?
No, not really. See, a lot of these big boats, they've got so much stuff on them. You just spend your life down below repairing everything. So I much prefer the sort of the simplicity of it, which is what this race is all about.
So where does this race start?
It starts in Plymouth in the south coast of the UK.
Okay, very traditional, good sailing town to start with. And then it brings you where?
It starts and finishes in Plymouth, and it's effectively a lap of Antarctica. So it's south down through the Atlantic, and then you're turning past... Cape of Good Hope, South Africa, around past Australia, past the south coast of the Americas, so Cape Horn, which is the furthest south we'll be going, and then back up the Atlantic to Plymouth.
And the last question I have to ask you about is, how do the family feel about you going off in a boat with 60s rules and a box that may or may not be of use to you if something goes wrong?
Well, I'm quite lucky with the family I've got, in that they've been very supportive of all my decisions. You know, they believe in me and are happy to sort of encourage me in what I want to do. I mean, my girlfriend, you know, it was a very hard thing to ask of her.
But we 9 months is a long time, yeah.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Well, I'm hoping for less than 9 months, but there's not a whole lot.
There's not much can happen to you. You're on a boat on your own, so it's safe enough to send you off. But so and ultimately, were they accepting of it?
Yeah, they were. It's a big thing to ask of anybody to, you know, to be a part of something like that. But they've all embraced it, and the support I'm getting from them all, like my girlfriend especially, is just absolutely fantastic.
Well, here's hoping that you not only finish it, but you might even win the bloody thing.
Fingers crossed.
Which is the other side of it. Gregor McGuckin at the Golden Globe Race 2018 is the race. People can find you on Facebook and Twitter and all that, and hopefully you'll get to that target that you need to enter the race. You're a bit mad, Gregor, going off without. I'd need a sat nav to get out.
I don't feel mad.
I need a sat nav to get out of Dublin, never mind to go around the world on a boat. But fair play to you. Wish you the best. Look, Gregor,
cheers,
McGuffin,
thank you very much.